Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dorney's Vinyl. This is episode number 35 of season 6. And if you're new to this podcast or returning to this podcast, I want to thank you for tuning in. This is a weekly podcast, so every odd-numbered podcast that I do is an album review, such as today's. 2 weeks ago, I did an album review. It was the second soundtrack album of the season. I talked about the soundtrack for Flashdance. Before that, Aerosmith, Toys in the Attic. And those are the odd-numbered podcasts. Every even-numbered podcast, then, is what I call an EP extra podcast. Half of those are games guest-starring my wife. So last week's podcast was a game of rock and roll trivia. And every other EP extra podcast that I do is just a little tidbit of information. So a few weeks ago, I did some book reviews, if you call them reviews. I just kind of talked about some books that I've been reading about classic rock and just other artists in general. But this is, an album review. So how my album reviews work, I talk about the artist, the album, the personnel, and the tracks, and then take a short little break. And then after the short little break, I do my song opinions, my song rankings, and my album score. So I'll get into Boston's, today I'm doing Boston's Don't Look Back. I don't know if I said that yet, but you've probably seen it from the title. But Boston Don't Look Back. So the band Boston, formed in 1975 in, surprise, surprise, Boston, Massachusetts. So the core members of the band, essentially it was founder, leader, and multi-instrumentalist Tom Scholz, and lead vocalist Brad Delp. And they have been an active band since 1975. They have sold over 75 million records worldwide. They have been nominated for one Grammy Award. VH1 ranked them the 63rd best hard rock artist. I know that's very random, but yeah. And then they have released 6 studio albums and 16 singles. On the US Billboard 200, they have 5 top 40 albums, 4 top 10s, and 2 number 1s. On the UK albums chart, 3 top 40 albums and 1 top 10. And then of their 16 singles, on the US Hot 100, 8 top 40, so half of their singles have been top 40. I don't know the exact number of top 10s, the number didn't save. I think it's 3 top 10s and 1 number 1. And on the UK singles chart, 1 top 40 single. Moving on now into Don't Look Back. So it is the second studio album released by Boston. So following the release of their debut album, which would eventually rank as one of the best-selling debut albums of all time, Boston toured and opened for Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, Foghat, and others. During this time, according to Cameron Crowe of Rolling Stone, in an article about the potential follow-up album, he wrote, quote, "There has been a conscious effort to de-emphasize him," and he's referring to Tom Scholz, "as the total mastermind of Boston," end quote. And so I will say, I have done a podcast about Boston's first album, their debut album, Boston. I highly recommend listening to that. But essentially, Tom Scholz did all of the recording, except for like one song, and all of the mixing and all of that in his home studio. He essentially is Boston. But anyway, so during this time, Scholz was also caught in the middle of a legal dispute between manager Paul Ahern and business partner Charles McKenzie. Almost all of the recording for the second album was done at Scholz's Hideaway Studio between 1977 and 1978. Don't Look Back was released on August 15th, 1978, and it peaked at number 1 in the US and number 9 in the UK. Reviews of the album are positive. So Robert Christgau graded it a B-, writing, quote, "Not only are the guitars perfectly received, but the lyrical cliches seem specially selected to make the band as credible in the arena as they are in the studio, and Brad Delp's tenor, too thin for nasty cock rock distractions, leaves us free to contemplate unsullied form," end quote. And Billboard Magazine's review of the album reads, quote, "The searing guitar riffs both stand out and mesh with the remainder of the rhythm section, producing a consistently charged power rock instrumentation, and Delp's gusty, wide-ranging vocal dynamics interpret Scholz's material with gusto," end quote. Other ratings for the album include AllMusic giving it 4 out of 5 stars, and the Rolling Stone Album Guide giving it 2.5 out of 5 stars. and the album certified 7 times platinum in the US with 7 million copies sold. Moving on now into the personnel. So Boston, I know I said Boston was essentially the two men, Brad Delp and Tom Scholz, but he did have to have some other members in the band. So Boston, the band, the personnel in the album. So Brad Delp does lead and harmony vocals, acoustic guitar, piano, and tambourine. Tom Scholz does pianos, organs, lead guitar, electric rhythm guitar, acoustic guitar, 12-string guitar, guitar special effects, bass guitar, hands and hands in cans. Barry Goudreau plays slide guitar, lead guitar on tracks 2, 7, and 8, and co-lead guitar on track 1, as well as percussion. Fran Sheehan does bass guitar and percussion on track 1. And Sib Hashian plays the drums and percussion. And some of the additional personnel, not members of the band Boston, Rob Rosati, Cindy Scholz, and Gloria on hands and cans. And the album was produced by Tom Scholz. Moving on now into the track listing. So all of the tracks on the album are written by Tom Scholz, unless noted otherwise. Track 1 is Don't Look Back. It was released as the first single off of the album, peaking at number 4 in the US and number 43 in the UK. So this was one of the last songs to be written and recorded for the album. Scholz has said, quote, "It was one of those things where everything clicked. I didn't even record a demo for that song. I came up with chord changes, melody, and the arrangement, and put it right on the master tape," end quote. Billboard magazine's review of the song reads, quote, "It resounds with a thunderous rock beat underlined by a highly rich and melodic bass and a powerful vocal. Searing guitar work paces the high-powered instrumentals," end quote. And Record World's review reads, quote, "The sound is much the same as the Mega Platinum Last, with the strong bass guitar line sweetened by Brad Delp's stellar vocals," end quote. And Ultimate Classic Rock critic Michael Gallucci rated it the band's 4th best song, while AXS critic Bill Craig ranked it their 3rd. And the single sold more than 1 million copies in the first 2 weeks following its release. Track 2 is The Journey. So Scholz has said that the song was lying around for years before he found the right theme, as well as, quote, "I'm floating through space, cruising in an airplane over the clouds," end quote. Track 3 is It's Easy. Critic Derek Oliver said that the song has Boston's, quote, "signature sound of pristine production, humongous orchestral guitars, and stupendous vocals," end quote. I do a lot of quotes on these podcasts. I realize this one has a ton of quotes, but I like to do quotes because I like to do the informational half of what other people say. It's information. Track 4 is A Man I'll Never Be. It was released as the 2nd single off of the album, peaking at number 31 in the U.S. The Cashbox magazine's review of the song reads, quote, "This 2nd single opens with a piano ballad feel, which quickly expands when Tom Scholz adds his princely guitar work. The beat remains moderate. Keyboards, which sound like a church harpsichord, provide a high melody line. Vocals are characteristically soaring," end quote. And Gallucci and Craig each rank this as Boston's 10th greatest song. I've also realized, oh no, I said that. All tracks are written by Tom Scholz unless noted otherwise. Track 5 is Feeling Satisfied. It was released as the 3rd single off of the album, peaking at number 46 in the US. Billboard magazine wrote, quote, "Guitars, drums, and harmonic vocals are spotlighted in this upbeat track, which is totally rock and roll," end quote. And Cashbox magazine said that the song has, quote, "tight skin percussion, majestic guitar lines, and do the job soaring vocals," end quote. And Gallucci ranked it as Boston's 8th greatest song. Track 6 is Party, which was written by Scholz and Brad Delp. The song begins with a short, slow introduction before a surprising change of pace to the fast, harder sound in the rest of the song. And Billboard writer Paul Green also compared the end of the song to sounding similar to Aerosmith. Track 7 is Used to Bad News. The song was written by Delp, and Rolling Stone critic Ken Emerson called the song, quote, "a charming, rather Beatles-like song," end quote. And track 8 is Don't Be Afraid. This was originally one of the demos that Scholz was working on prior to getting a recording track. a recording contract. So the rest of the demos were on the first album. This was supposed to be on the first album, but was saved for the second album. That is the conclusion of this informational half of the podcast. I will take a short little break, intermission, and come back and give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score, so stay tuned. Alrighty, I'm back after that short little intermission to give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So essentially, if you're new, how I do this part of the podcast, I play the album, start to finish. As I'm listening to it, I write down notes for each song, and then at the end, I rank the songs from my least favorite to my favorite. That's essentially how I do my song rankings. So I'll just get into it. At number 8, I have The Journey. So I really liked the transition from the previous song. This was the short instrumental. The beginning of the instrumental sounds very spaceshipy. I definitely understand what he was talking about when he's, you know, talking about him being in the clouds. And also, it's very understandable that it would sound spaceshipy based off of the cover. And Boston has that iconic logo, the spaceship logo. Maybe, like, it was just kind of like my record or my speaker system, but the instrumental itself almost sounded like wavy. There's some really nice guitar riffs and just overall playing on the instrumental. And if I had to describe this instrumental using only one word, the word that I would use would be curious. At number 7, I have Used to Bad News. So the opening instrumental for this song almost had like a slightly like Pink Floyd sounding vibe to it. The instrumentals in the first verse of this song, though, were somewhat lacking to me. I almost wondered, as I was listening to it, because this song was written by Delp, so I almost wondered if Schultz didn't put as much effort into this song because it wasn't his. And to be fair, though, like, the instrumentals aren't bad. I just felt like they weren't as strong as the other songs on the album. It's also interesting how the instrumental sounds more like a synthesizer than an electric guitar. The second one, like, the second instrumental is better and definitely, like, has, like, a wow factor feel to it. But to me, like, this song was almost like the black sheep of the album. And my favorite lyrics for this one, I've been tossed around plenty before. I've had this heart of mine broken and more. I can't find a reason for sure, but I've gotten used to bad news. At number 6, I have Party. This song had a very calming introduction and a pretty calming, like, electric guitar. I figured that it wouldn't last very long. One, just knowing Boston, and two, doing the informational part of the podcast and knowing that it starts off slow and then builds up. Until the vocal came on this song, it almost sounded and reminded me of, like, of AC/DC. I think that this is one of the stronger songs on the album vocally, and I'm wondering if that might have to do with the fact that Delp co-wrote this song with Schultz. Each of the guitars sounds like, for each song, they sound similar, but they also sound different. Like, each song has a unique or, like, kind of the same underlying tone, but the guitar has its own unique tone when you compare it to other bands. This song might have the best wow factor riff on the album. There's a part that is comparable to when people, like, almost swipe their hand across the piano when they go from the high notes, the high keys, to the low keys. I don't know how it would be described on a guitar, though. The last verse on this song, lyric-wise, reminds me of, like, a soul song, and it's my favorite lyrics, and those lyrics are, "Now a man doesn't live on bread alone, he's got to have some loving each and every night." At number 5, I have Feeling Satisfied. This song, to me, had a very, like, original, like, Boston debut album feel to it. It had just, like, a different pace to it from the first side of the album. I really liked what sounds like the hand claps in the background. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Or the hands in cans, maybe that's what it is. They just added, like, another dimension to an already solid backing track on this song. There's a wow factor-ish riff in the middle of the song, which I thought was solid. The nasally sound, though, of some of the vocals, it started to grow on me. I will probably get into it more in a couple other songs, but they grew on me. Overall, This is a very solid-sounding song with good instrumentals. And my favorite lyrics for this one, "Well, come on, all you people, the time has come to get together. You gotta have a little rock and roll music to get you through the stormy weather." At number 4, I have Don't Be Afraid. I was really looking forward to this song since it was an original demo Boston tune, so it kind of predated the other songs. But I was somewhat disappointed in its pace as a concluding song. The backing instrumental on this song is such like a Boston-sounding instrumental, though. It has potential to be one of the best riffs on the entire album, but I will say it's almost too in-your-face at times. I really like the change of pace at the two-thirds mark of this song. It almost sounded like a completely different song for a little bit, and I really like the vocal improv, just like it was his own instrument. This song, I will say, it started off weak for me, but it turned itself around and became a really solid song, and it ended up being an above-average end to an album. The end, the very, very end, almost sounded like an encore of a concert. And my favorite lyrics for this one, "Baby, don't you know good love is hard to find? Don't you think I know what's going through your mind? One man left you crying, so you shut the door. Just let me inside, that's what my love is for." At number 3, I have It's Easy. I like how this song, it really starts off strong. The vocals still had like a nasally tone to them at times, but they definitely improved sound-wise from the opening song. This was another song that had solid lyrics. The instrumentals almost make the lyrics sound faster than they actually are. And I really like the wow factor riff at the two-thirds mark in this song. This one is definitely more wow factor than Music That Counts. But then it kind of calms itself down and moves into a Music That Counts riff in the second half of the riff. I like how it pulls back a little for the last few seconds of the song. And my favorite lyrics were, "Hey, I've got no place to be and no one I'd rather see. I won't mind if you can find the time to stay with me." At number 2, I have A Man I'll Never Be. Very bold move to go with vocals and a piano for only the first 3 lines of the song. And then they threw in a guitar for the song. This is a great song. I was very excited to hear how this song was going to build itself up, especially after that first electric guitar riff after the first verse of the song. I think that this was the best song vocally on the first side of the album, and I think that Delp's voice just fit the ballad that this song is just so well. The piano also fits so well on this song, and I think that that's because it's actually like a piano and not just a keyboard. I can sense that there's just a really good instrumental coming. It has such a very good combination of wow factor parts and Music That Counts that they almost like overlay each other's for the riffs. And the instrumental at the end of this song is like a perfect example of how both types of guitar riffs can coexist with each other. I really liked the third of this song. It repeats the bridge in the chorus. It has another great guitar riff and an instrumental riff, and it just has an incredible tone altogether. I would have been perfectly content if this was the last song on the album. I think this would have been a great ending song, but I also like that it was just kind of the closing of the first side. And I think why it would have been such a good ending song is just how it ends with the last few seconds of just the piano playing. Like, that was just an incredible touch. My favorite lyrics: "If only I could find a way, I'd feel like I'm the man you believe I am. And it gets harder every day for me to hide behind this dream you see, a man I'll never be." And number 1, the catchiest song on the album, I think, Don't Look Back. This is one of my favorite, just song introductions. There are times where I will just play this song just to hear the introduction. I like just that first part of this song. The guitar has such, Schultz's guitar has such a unique sound to it. It sounds polished. Like any other band, it just doesn't sound like they put as much work into Schultz as Schultz does. Unfortunately, some of the vocals sounded somewhat nasally. There's so many different layers to the guitar playing, though. Schultz does a really good job of arranging songs. I really like the tempo switch that came in the middle of the song, and I like how it slows down for a few seconds, and it just has a soft percussion before leading into a Music That Counts riff. There are parts of this song that can be wow factor-ish, but it's definitely more refined. The lyrics on this song are very solid, and quite frankly, I said for a guitar expert in Schultz, the lyrics are above average. I like the full-on explosion at the end of the song, and I also like how the introduction almost sounds like it gets repeated three times at three different parts in the song. There's definitely some wow factor riff at the end of the song, and my favorite lyrics were, "I can tell there's no more time left to criticize. I've seen what I could not recognize. Everything in my life was leading me on, but I can be strong. Oh yes, I can." So that is the conclusion then of my song rankings and my song opinions. So I'm now going to move on to my album score. So how I do my album score is I give it a score out of 10 based off of its the lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals, and I rank that. So lyrically, I gave this album an 8 out of 10. The songs that I pointed to lyrically were Don't Look Back, It's Easy, and A Man I'll Never Be. Vocally, I gave this one a 7.5 out of 10, pointing to A Man I'll Never Be, Party, and Used to Bad News. And instrumentally, I gave this one a 9 out of 10, pointing to Don't Look Back, The Journey, Feeling Satisfied, and Don't Be Afraid. So those three categories, lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals, those scores will get multiplied by 2 and when I do my total score. And those three categories I call my Dorney score. I then give it a score out of 10 based off of where it charts in the U.S. and the U.K. So in the U.S., it was a number 1 album, so it got 10 out of 10 points. And in the U.K., it was a number 9 album, so it got 7 out of 10 points. I also give it a score out of 10 based off of where its singles charted in the U.S. So it had a number 4 single, which is worth 4 points, a number 31 single, which is worth 1 point. So it got a total of 5 points for that. And then lastly, I give it a score out of 10 based off of its cover. This cover is iconic, the spaceship, so I gave this one a 9 out of 10. So the total score for Boston's Don't Look Back is an 80 out of 100, which is a pretty very good score. So that concludes Boston's Don't Look Back podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We are nearing the end of season 6. We got just 5 more podcasts left, including the season finale. Next week's podcast is the last EP tidbit of information podcast, and I'm going to do a segment of Rank 'Em, in which I'm going to rank the songs that were written by Jim Steinman. So Jim Steinman is my favorite songwriter. So that'll be a fun one, I think. So that'll be next week. If you're not already, please go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. And in addition to that, if you're interested in growing or starting a record collection for yourself, I have used 33s and 45s for sale on my eBay store. So that is also Dorney's Vinyl. That is all I got for this week, though. I will talk to you next week.